Father, first of all, we can just come as your children, as your family, loved by you. And what a joy it is again through your Son that we have access. Through your Son, we meet with you face to face, the Almighty God of all creation. We, your children. What a place of security, what a place of belonging, what a place of hope and future. It's such a safe place that we are as your children. So thank you for that. Thank you that you have given us a living hope. And as things take place in our lives and we see the passing away of many, many people and all these things taking place, what a joy it is to know that in your Son Jesus, we are in such an incredible realm of eternity. And so we thank you for the living hope. We thank you, Father, for the grace that we stand. And we ask this morning that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us understanding, a more understanding of the implication of standing in your grace and the effect it has in our lives, the effect it has in our communities. And we want to thank you for, as you lead us and as you are doing an amazing work within us, we agree with what Paul writes. We are this incredible, beautiful creation of yours, this masterpiece of yours, where your glory, your grace, your truth is displayed for all to see through in our lives and through us. So we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you for your goodness as you lean forwards, touching our communities, touching our nation, touching the nations all over the world, just reaching out actively with the impartation of your love by your Holy Spirit, drawing people to Jesus, speaking, opening up truth, just ministering in various ways. Even today, the healing through your Son Jesus we receive for us, for our folk, for our communities, the people that we're praying for. And this we thank you through your Son Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be sharing a little bit more on the area of what it means to stand in grace. And what I'm sharing, one needs to meditate because it's going a little bit deeper. It's it takes a while to be able to get the understanding and to begin to experience the reality of this. You know, one of the things that Paul writes when he writes to the church there in Thessalonica, and he says over there that as Paul preached the word, they took it in as it really was, the word of God. And because they believed, he carries on and he says there that the word of God is actively working in their lives. And that's what we're going to be experiencing more and more as we receive what God is saying. We will experience how this word that he's been teaching us for whenever we hear from whoever, the word of God, it's actually actively involved in our lives and bringing about tremendous change. And that's why the word of God is active. It's alive. It's sharper than two any edged sword and so forth. And so today I'm going to be going into, again, just Romans chapter 5. And we want to start looking at the working of this grace, what it means you and I standing in the grace of God, the implication of that in our lives, but also in the lives of the unsaved, and to understand that grace is not just something that's so wonderful, but it's an active reality, and it produces a fruit. It's working something in our lives and has a purpose. And we're going to be beginning to have a look and get an understanding of that as we continue. And so our starting point again is in Romans chapter 5, and I'm reading there in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And there's so much in this here that we haven't even touched yet. But if you take a moment in your in your day or in your quiet time and your time you just want to meditate, just focus on a few words here. We have gained access. What is that reality that you and I, through Jesus Christ, we have gained access into this grace? And it's not just any grace, not human grace. This is this grace. Emphasis is this grace. It's this grace that comes from God. It's this gift that comes from God. We have access into that by the faith that he has given to us, and we simply believed when we heard the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we just meditate that, it just opens up the reality of Christ being the doorway, his gateway, as we see in John chapter 10, and that you and I, we actually have access into the reality of God Almighty. And as I shared, as we prayed, it is such a safe place, it is such a secure place to be. But meditate on that, and you let that word become alive within you, and you will see it's life changing, and it's such a stability in one's life to know that you have access. You face to face. We can come, as the Hebrew writer says over there, can come with confidence to the throne of grace and speak to our Father and speak to him and get help in our time of need. Okay, but you can meditate on that in your own time. And so into the grace in which we now stand. And this is what we're going to be looking at more and more. Now, in John, or let's go quickly back to, let's go back to John chapter 1. Remember in John chapter 14 when Jesus makes the statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is why the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we have access. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And now, because of our faith in him, we have peace with God, and therefore we have this incredible relationship with the Almighty God. Now, in John chapter 1, we begin to read over here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just a sideline over here. To get a better understanding of the letter, John's letter over here, and also the book of Revelations, it's good to understand his starting point, because his starting point is the reality of God, who is spirit, and Christ coming down in the flesh. In theology, we call that incarnation, where Christ comes down and in the flesh. So from spirit, he makes himself known in a human form. And so there's something about the reality of Jesus, the Word that was with God, is God, was with God from the very beginning, and through him all things have been made. So there's something about the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ that John is emphasizing. The Holy Spirit, who is inspiring John to write this letter, to write this book, he is now giving the emphasis based on this incredible starting point of who Jesus Christ is. Okay, and that's why even in the book of Revelation, it starts with the revelation of Christ. And the rest, that's why to understand Revelations, we've got to see it through the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And then we start to get a better understanding of the what the book of Revelations is saying to us. Now we carry on, and There in verse 14 of John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. Okay, that's the, what we call in theology incarnation. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. What glory is this that they have seen? The glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we carry on in verse 16. Out of his fullness, remember we spoke about this last Sunday, out of his fullness we have all received. Okay, it's a fact. Out of his fullness, remember in verse 14, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this fullness that we're speaking about here in this context is this fullness of grace, fullness of truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given, grace upon grace. Okay, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but only the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. What glory are we speaking about that the disciples saw? And that is so important because that has a huge application for us as the body of Christ in what glory are people seeing? What glory is the world seeing? What glory is the fellow believers seeing? And that's why this, the reality of grace is such an important truth for us as the family of God. And so we're going to look at that, and to begin to understand when Jesus speaks about we are the light of the world, and get better understanding of this, our role, our participation, the outworking of standing in grace, the effect it has in our lives and the effect it has amongst the unsaved people. And so here we first of all, staying in John chapter 1, here we see some incredible truths because Jesus, who is God, has been with God from the very beginning, he's the second person of the Trinity, Jesus comes and now becomes as a man. And so Jesus has a purpose. Jesus has a mission. And that mission of our Lord Jesus is to reveal the Father, to make the Father known. That's what Jesus is doing. He's making the Father known. And so that's why in verse 18, in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So this is the glory that the disciples are seeing in Christ Jesus. They are seeing the revelation of God the Father. That's the glory they sing. Okay? And so here we saw like last Sunday that the difference between the law was given through Moses. The law is written, it's on a tablet, and God gave that to Moses. So they can read it. It's external and it's out there. They can read the law. They've got it there on their tablets. But Jesus is different. Because grace and truth came, and that word came means to remember, to bring into being. And so Jesus on the earth now is manifesting, he's bringing into reality what our Father is like. He's bringing into reality what grace and truth is all about. God is graceful. God is truthful. And so this is about the revelation of God. God is grace. God is truth. Okay. And so here Jesus, all through his ministry, that's why in reading through the Gospel of John, all the time he's emphasizing this fact that Jesus is making the Father known and the reality of the Father's goodness, of his grace and truth is a great revelation that has been revealed throughout the Gospel of John. That's why we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, that's grace. That's the active, remember, grace is the active love of God expressed, communicated to man through the gift. The gift is his Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation through him. And so God's actually been involved in sending his son, and his son, what his son has done in our place, because we couldn't do it, that's grace. And so we see the reality of this grace and truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus is expressing God who is truth. He's expressing God who is graceful, who is grace. He's making known to us. Now, that's the mission of Jesus, to reveal the Father. And that's why even in his prayers, remember in John chapter 17, when Jesus comes to the end of his ministry, he goes on and he says there in verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. See, and that's what Jesus has done. I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. So he came to reveal the Father to humanity. He came to make God the Father known to humanity. And so in him, we have the reality of what God's like. Now, just as that was the mission of Christ, it is also the mission of Satan. Christ came to reveal the Father. Satan has come to stop that from taking place. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just read then from verse 2. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We did not use deception. Remember, Satan used deception in deceiving Eve. We did not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, the unsaved person, the unbeliever. The God, referring to Satan, of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. What can they not see? The light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you see this? Christ, who is the image of God, he came to make God known to human mankind. Satan has come and he has blinded the minds of the unbeliever so that they cannot see God in Christ Jesus. They're blinded to that. Okay, that's the reality. That's so on this planet Earth, you've got today, there's a body of Christ as we proclaim the good news, as we share the gospel of God. The Spirit of God is opening up people's hearts so that they can see the image of God. They can see in Christ Jesus the reality of God. Satan, on the other hand, is doing his utmost to prevent that from taking place. So he will use whatever he can to prevent mankind from getting the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Okay, so that they will not know the Father, they cannot come to the Father, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's why you will find everything of Satan is to come against the way, the truth, and the life that is in Christ Jesus. And so there's a way of his way of bringing in the sin and all that kind of stuff, his way of the baiting people into all kinds of things, his truth, which is he's a father of lies, as is the devil. And that's his strategy, to keep the mind. But not just the emphasis, it's the mind. The mind is blinded. However, the good news is, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why what's God been sharing with us? The Holy Spirit has been telling us what the gospel of God is. It's his son, Jesus Christ, who he is. And we've spent much time in that over there. But we don't preach anything else. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine into our hearts, not our minds, into our hearts. Because Satan has blinded the minds, God deals with our inner man. He deals with our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So you and I as believers, Satan had blinded our minds. We weren't interested in God. We thought we were fine, etc., etc. That's part of being blinded. not being aware of our need for God, or looking for answers somewhere else, where the devil says the answer is in that religion or that, whatever the case may be. And all of one day someone shared the gospel, whatever how it happened to you, and all of a sudden, by the Holy Spirit, God shone his incredible truth into our hearts and gave us the knowledge. We're going to look at that later on. Gave us the knowledge of God's glory that is displayed. Christ is the image. Christ came to reveal. So in the gospel of God, part of the incredible good news of God is the revelation in Christ Jesus, the revelation of who God the Father is. We now begin to see God. Christ came full of grace and truth. He came to reveal the Father to you and I. And so when we're communicating the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit, people are starting to get a revelation of what God the Father is really like. And that is why Satan blinds people, so they get such a distorted picture of who God is over there, and so they just can't get it. But in God's grace, this is why God's grace is God's active love. He's reaching out to mankind. The Holy Spirit is revealing the truth of Jesus Christ as you and I, the family of God, sharing the gospel of God, praying for people, involved in the ministry of reconciliation with the message of reconciliation. God is busy writing, he's busy breaking into the hearts, giving the revelation of the knowledge of who he is in and through his son Jesus Christ. The gospel is his son Jesus. The revelation of God comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus' mission is to make the Father known. Satan's mission is to prevent people from getting to know who the Father is in the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. That's why he's anti-Christ. Okay, everything to prevent mankind from getting the revelation of God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's why our preaching and our teaching, it must be Christ-centered, because God has chosen that through Jesus Christ, people get the revelation of what the Father is all about. Okay, that's the gospel. Okay, and that's why the centrality of Christ is foundational for us as believers. But praise God that he shines into our hearts, into that darkness, and makes his light shine in our heart. He does this. He makes his light shine in our hearts to give us. That's a gift. That's grace to give us. We didn't earn it. That's grace. He's reaching out. He's giving us the gift of revelation, the gift of the knowledge of God, who he is, that is through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. We share the gospel with people there in the workplace, in the schools, whatever the case may be over there. That's the power of God that shines into the heart of mankind, into the darkness, and brings a revelation of Christ. We all experienced that when we got born again. It was into our hearts. It wasn't a mental thing. God spoke to our inner man. Our whole inner man knew that what God is saying is the absolute truth, and we just simply believed that. Okay, and so that's important. Now, I want to go again just in John 17. Remember, I just spoke about this over here, where Jesus came and he began to reveal the Father. And he says, I've revealed to those who you gave me out of the world. And he continues to share this all the time. So that was his purpose. Now, a very important truth to understand a little bit more here is found in John chapter 14. And this is going to spend a little bit of time in this here. Often we read scripture, we use scripture so often that it sort of just goes over our heads. And this John chapter 14 is one of the whole John 14, 15, and 16. And that's why, as I shared, when you look at the chapter 1 of John and you see there what the Spirit is revealing through the writings of John is the revelation of the fullness of grace and truth. And that's why John is the one that writes so much about the love of God, the active love of God, You write so much about the oneness, the glory of God, and so forth, because it's all part of the revelation from that platform, from that foundation. And so Jesus is going to the day, is leaving them. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The mission of Christ is to reveal the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Because when we know Jesus, Jesus is making the Father known, we know the Father. Okay? From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is a profound statement that Jesus is saying to them, because they're asking, "But we want to see the Father." And Jesus says, "Listen, I've come to reveal the Father, and I have made him known to you. So now you know him because you know me. As you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I'm the image of God. And I've made him known to you." So everything that Jesus has done is revealing the Father. Okay, now we carry on there in verse 8. And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Okay, and I think that's why "show us," it's revelation all the time. And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus said, in the area in his praise there, "Father, make them one as you and I are one, so that the world may know that you have sent me." Our participation, the effects of you and I standing in this grace of God, is what now Jesus begins to unlock over here. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus said, "When I'm leaving you, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another one just like me, the Holy Spirit, going to come and live in you and be with you. And you're going to know then the reality of what it is to be in us and us in you." This is what grace is all about now. Okay, I want you to just understand the impact, the reality, what it means to be standing in this grace. Jesus now is beginning. His purpose is to reveal the Father. And so there's this oneness. So everything that Jesus is doing is expressing God who is grace and God who is truth, expressing the reality of the active love of God and the incredible truth of God. That's what Jesus is. So all the miracles, all the teachings that Jesus has done here, recorded in the Gospel of John, all of that is taking what he began there in chapter 1, and Jesus is living it out. Out of the fullness, he's revealing the fullness of God expressed in the grace and the truth that is found in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he says, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So here we have such a truth over here, because what's taking place, remember what when we gave a bit of the insights of the meaning of grace, it is God's active love, and he's pouring it out onto humanity when humanity deserve something else. Okay? You're enemies of God, and so there's the judgment, the wrath, etc. of God. But God is actively, and it's through the gift, because grace is a gift. It's something that we don't earn. It's something that He gives out of His active love. So God is reaching out, and He is actively giving His Son, Jesus Christ. So all the works that He's doing in Christ Jesus, we have to now see that's the Father leaning forwards, touching mankind through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, manifesting, whether it is revelation of who He is, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's providing them with food, whether it is, you know, raising the dead, whatever it may be. All of this, as Christ is doing that, you have to see now God Himself leaning forward, Him and His Son as one, God Himself giving Himself to mankind, God Himself reaching out, giving Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and all that's taking place is the revelation of God's grace, God's truth being made known through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why now we begin to find our participation as a body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Likewise, Jesus says, "Very truly, whoever believes in Me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." When He said, "As I go to the Father, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is going to come and dwell in you, and now, because My Spirit is in you, we are one with Him, He's one with us, the Father's dwelling within in us, we are that prayer of John chapter 17, that oneness taking place. Now, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, as we now begin to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, filled with His love, and out of love we responding, because that's grace, it's active love. So that's why we, anything that counts is love being expressed through faith. Now, as we are now actively walking with the Holy Spirit, you have to begin to see God Himself, by the Spirit of God, Christ Himself, by the Spirit of God, is in us, leaning forwards to mankind, reaching out, imparting life, touching man, even though they don't deserve it. Okay? That's our role. That's why we light. That's why we have the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. That's why someone prayed on Friday morning for boldness to be able to proclaim the word of God. And that, because it's such an important part now for the world to begin to see that we are the disciples of Jesus, because there's an act of love as Christ was love. So when Christ gave Himself, when Christ died on the cross, when Christ gave Himself to you and I, that was God Himself, our Heavenly Father, giving Himself to you and I. Okay. This is the revelation of what grace and truth is all about, that John is busy recording and writing for our benefit, for us to have an understanding of what it means to stand in grace. Okay? And the outworking, the effect that grace has upon our lives as we now do that. And that is why all the time there's a call of putting off the old, putting on the new, of understanding what Christ has done as our participation in His death with an old Adamic nature has been crucified. So now we are a new creation in Christ, so that now the revelation of who God is can be seen in and through our lives as the Holy Spirit ministers to people. And so we are a witness, we are a testimony in that. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, again, it's a truth that we read, but now based on what God has been sharing with you and I about Jesus' purpose was to reveal the Father, Satan's purpose was to prevent people from getting the revelation of the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, God shone into our lights, into our hearts, brought the revelation that Jesus is God, and that's why even in Corinthians, and the spiritual gifts over there, when Paul writes over there, now concerning the reality, how things work in the spiritual realm, No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because Satan has blinded, God has shone into our hearts, and now we realize, but Jesus, you are God. We can see the revelation of the Father in you. You have brought us to the Father. Through you, we have access to the Father. Through you, we have relationship. We have peace with God. And there's an awesomeness. There's this relational aspect of the revelation that God has given to us concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And now in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. See, this is all part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, okay? The veil is gone, you're no longer blinded by the enemy, by Satan. The light has shone into our hearts. Now, verse 18, now we, all who with unveiled faces, contemplate. In other words, we behold, the veil is gone, so now we can see in Christ, we see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We see the glory of Christ. That glory of Christ is a revelation of God the Father. We see it, we know it, it's real to us. Now, as we meditate, as we behold it, as you and I as believers continually to just journey into this incredible truth, and as we spend time with him, as we read the scriptures, and we, the Holy Spirit opens up all the time what the Father is like through his Son Jesus Christ, what takes place as we with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This word transformed, we all know, we deal with it many, many times. But the word transformed comes from two words, meta and, as we all know, morpho. Meta means change after being with. Morpho means changing form in keeping with inner reality. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old Adamic man that we used to be is no longer our inner, is no longer our inner reality. The inner reality of you and I as believers is Christ in us, the Father in us, the Spirit of God within us. That's our inner reality, our spirit being in union with the Holy Spirit into this new nature that we now partake in. That's our inner reality. You and I are in this realm of grace. That's our inner reality. And as we behold that Jesus is revealing the Father to you and I, what's taking place? We are being transformed into the reality of our inner reality. That's the process of holiness and sanctification, as theologians will speak about it over there. But we are being transformed into his image. Into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Holy, who is the Spirit. So just as Jesus revealed the Father, just as that oneness, so that people can see the glory of Christ, they can see the revelation of God through Jesus Christ. Now, as we are being transformed, as we're living in the reality and we're finding more and more that who we really are and our inner being is who we're becoming in our lifestyle, what's taking place over there, people can begin to see in us that we are the disciples of Jesus. They can see in us that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ. They can see that. And so that's why we are the light. That's our role. That's when we participate and we realize we're in the grace of God and we start to live in the outworking and the power of the grace of God, totally reliant on what Christ has done for you and I, and living in that reality, or keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, being conscious of walking with God and relying on him and receiving from him the power, receiving from him the grace, receiving from him all that we need for our lives, What takes place over there? That's the inner transformation. That's when we are transformed into His image, because that's our inner reality that dwell within us, and we're in oneness with Him with ever increasing glory. That's the growth that you and I have. Now, one last scripture quickly is another one just to confirm this, is when Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 about us now, since we have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. There's so much in over there. We've gone through quite a bit of that, but there's so much more. Anyway, but let's go to verse 10. You have put on the new self. That's who we are. That's our inner reality, which is being, it's a continuous process, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Exactly the same as we just saw there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Spirit of God is continually revealing to us the revelation of God through His Son Jesus Christ and what takes place over there. That knowledge that our spirit is, the Holy Spirit is communicating to our spirit, and as we receive that, what's taking place, His word is actively involved in our lives, and we are being renewed. We are being transformed. We are changing into the image of its creator. That's powerful. That's the effect of standing in grace. And our prayer is not only for us as we grow in this, but for the family of God in our nation and the nations of the world, that the image of God can be so seen in the body of Christ, in the children of God, so that the world can see the reality of the glory of Christ, the glory of God in our lives as we live our lives. And so that's our beginning stage of this part of the series now, of just understanding a little bit more of the impact that it has in our lives, and the impact that that has upon the world. Guys, what a joy that you and I, what a privilege that you and I are in this realm of grace. And may God, by His Holy Spirit, continually show us where we are bypassing Jesus, where we are struggling on our own, and just trying to DIY, and for us to really begin to say, what's this good news, Lord? What have you done for me? What have you done for us? And by the Holy Spirit, just revealing the goodness of God. Just remember, every time you and I are living our day and be conscious of being in grace, just visualize God leaning forward, giving Himself to you and I. You walking into the school, you walking into the workplace, you walking into the community. You've got to realize, but God, You've taught me to pray in the name of Jesus. And it's through Him that the revelation of who You are is made known. And now, Father, I thank You that as in this community, You are leaning forwards. You are actively giving Yourself to the people of this community. And I receive that, because that's what grace is. And where You want me to share the gospel, here I am, so that people can hear the good news, so that Your light can shine into the heart and set them free from being blinded by Satan, and they can see the glorious truth that's found in You, Jesus. May God give us courage to proclaim His gospel, but the good news of God, the good news of God. May God give us the insight to understand Christ came to reveal grace and truth. God is leaning forwards to this nation. He's leaning forwards to in your life. Through His Son, Jesus, He's imparted the gift. Whatever Christ has done, that's your starting point. And now, by the Holy Spirit, as we receive that, that's the outworking of the effects of standing in His grace that we have access. So as we have communion, I think there's a lot to just praise God and thank God for Him leaning forwards in our lives. And may the Spirit just make this so alive. It's such a safe place. I can't, I know in my own life more and more, the joy of surrender. Oh, such a joy to surrender, because you're in the safe place of His grace. Such a joy of surrendering from trying to work things out in life and get answers and try and solve the problems, and to be free of that and to be totally secure in God Himself, leaning forwards and by the Holy Spirit getting the understanding. Take one day at a time, get the revelation, and just walk with Him over there in that security of God's active love in our lives. And so, yeah, let's enjoy celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ and His incredible coming to the earth and making the Father known to you and I, that we can have access and we can know the Father. So, Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you for you leaning forward. And in our own lives, we experience that breakthrough where you shone into our hearts and you bypassed our mind and you just gave truth, the revelation of Jesus into us. And as we had the revelation of Jesus, we knew, Father, you were real because that's what eternal life is, to know you and to know your Son, and not just a mindset, but a reality from our inner man. So we want to thank you, Father. And as we celebrate, Lord Jesus, the fact that you came to make the Father known, we want to thank you for the power of your life. We want to thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit now, and your Holy Spirit is working. And so we just say amen to you, Lord. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you just continually working within us, transforming us more and more into the likeness, into the image of God. We ask that our lives will be such a testimony of your glory. Our lives will just reveal so much to you, to the world. And so in your grace, thank you as you lead us. And as you prayed for your disciples, Lord, and you said, Father, protect them by the name that you have given, that he gave you, and because they're still in this world. And we ask, Father, protect us in the name of Jesus from the evil one, because we're still in this world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.